Good evening. It's good to have you here this evening. If I sound a little funny, it's because I'm getting over a cold. Hopefully, I'm on the tail end of it, so maybe that won't affect my pronunciation or my speech too much. No PowerPoint tonight, so you're going to have to really pay attention. I realized when I was putting this lesson together, I don't have PowerPoint on my computer. I'm not really sure why, but anyway, I have Excel, I have Word, but no PowerPoint. Tonight I want to talk about Hebrews 11. Conrad gave us a great lesson this morning from the Old Testament, and this lesson is based in the Old Testament, but using some New Testament passages to talk about an Old Testament character. Hebrews 11, verse 1, very familiar passage to us. The New International renders it, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Sometimes we talk about faith and we have maybe kind of a mystical idea about it. Some people would say, well, you know, faith is really not being that sure. Faith is really not about certainty. But Hebrews says that exactly the opposite. Faith involves being sure. Faith involves being certain. And I want to spend a few minutes tonight examining our faith, examining my faith, and how it compares to the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 8 and following as we go through the lesson. The first question, and it really, I guess this lesson has a lot of questions, maybe not as many answers, but a lot of questions for us to think about and that I need to think about, and I think probably we all do when we think about our faith. The first one, does my faith require that I know all the steps, all the places, all the situations, all the possible outcomes of my journey here on earth? Or am I hindered in obeying God because I worry about the unknown? I don't know about you, but I worry about the unknown a lot of times. But when we think about faith, you know, by faith, we know the final destination. We know our final destination, but we don't always know everything that's going to happen here to lead us to that destination. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Over in Genesis 12, we can read this account in some detail, beginning in verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So we find out that Abraham went out to a place not knowing where he was going. Now, he knew that he was going to receive this place as an inheritance. He was told that. He knew that God would bless him. He was told that. He knew that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. And he trusted God to guide him on that journey. But think about the faith that it took on Abraham's part. Have you ever just said, you know, I'm tired of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm going to move to Juneau, Alaska. I don't know anything about the place. I've never been there. Don't know a thing about it. But you know, I'm just going to pick up and move. Don't have a job there. Don't really know what the job prospects are. I don't know anything about it. Now think about, you know, maybe you didn't realize there were Google Maps that you could look up. Or you didn't have internet to access to research it. Or you didn't have a GPS to guide you there. Well, I can tell you, I've lived my entire life and never used a GPS. I know that's hard to believe. I'm old-fashioned, I guess. And until a few weeks ago, I'd never had a smartphone. I know you're saying, welcome to the 21st century, Jimmy. And Edna has not been too thrilled in the past when we've ventured out to some place we'd never been before and gotten a little off track. We spent hours wandering through the mountains of North Carolina looking for waterfalls one vacation. We got lost in the dark in New Hampshire, another point. But anyway, we'll leave that. You can talk to her about those things. But she doesn't have the sense of adventure, I guess, that I have. I don't know what it is. But perhaps you've had experiences where you were lost, where you didn't know where you were going. At the very least, it's disconcerting. But sometimes it can be rather frightening that you have no idea what's around the next curve in the road. Will it be the right turn, or is it just another wrong direction? Now put yourself in Abraham's shoes. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have Google. He didn't have a GPS. He had never been to this land, this country that God had called him to. What would our response have been? Would we have left our homeland and obeyed God? In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 22, it says, "And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem." This is Paul speaking. "Not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul didn't know exactly what was awaiting him in Jerusalem, but he says he was bound. He was constrained to go there by the Spirit. He knew that imprisonment and afflictions awaited him. And it seems from verse 24, where it says, "I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself," it seems like he was prepared to die, or at least he thought that was a possibility. But he didn't know all the details, but he knew that he had to finish his course. He knew that he had to finish the ministry that he had received. He knew that he had to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. His need to obey outweighed his lack of knowledge of future events. You know, fear of the unknown can hinder us. It certainly can hinder me, I know, from doing what we need to do in God's service. Is my fear a result of lack of faith? Do I really have the faith that Paul did in Acts 27, verse 25, where he said, "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told you." He didn't say, "It's going to be kind of like he's told us. It's going to be mostly like it." It said, "It's going to be exactly as God had told them." God is faithful. God will do what he has said he will do. Just a few passages. I just want to read through these rather quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. "Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." The English Standard says, "He will surely do it." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And finally, in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Our faith needs to find strength and courage in God's faithfulness. We don't have to wonder what God will do. He's told us, and he is faithful. A second point, does my faith require a home here on earth? Will physical hardship in this life destroy my faith in God? In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, Hebrews 11, verse 9, "By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." That seems from just reading the passages, and I have to admit I didn't research this as much in depth as I wanted to. I had a couple of sources I read, but I'd like to look in this further. But it seems like from the passages that we read in the scriptures that Abraham did not think of Canaan as his home. He didn't have any more privileges than any other stranger in the land. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 5, it says, "But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him." As far as I know, neither Abraham nor Isaac nor Jacob ever built a permanent residence in that country. They lived in tents, feeling confident that according to the promise of God, they were heirs of a much better inheritance. Abraham was satisfied to live in this way because he was looking for the city built by God. And he knew that wasn't in the promised land. He knew that wasn't on earth. But you know, I'm concerned that I, as well as the majority of Americans, are far too concerned about the here and now. We spend a lot of time, I know I spend a lot of time thinking about, well, what can I buy to make my life here better? What can I do to improve my life here in this physical world from a material standpoint? I need more stuff. And I think we really can get bound up in that. How often do we complain about not having certain material earthly possessions? Materialism is a huge problem, and I doubt we really see how bad it is at times. Now, that's a whole other sermon, and I'm not going to go into that, but can we truly say that we're looking for the city with foundations? Hebrews 13, verse 14, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." So if we were like Abraham, having to live in tents, not having a permanent dwelling, would that affect our faith? Point number three, does my faith believe the seemingly impossible can happen? Do I believe things will happen in God's way, in God's time? Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 11 through verse 12. "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Another passage dealing with this is over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18 through verse 21. "In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." Sarah and Abraham were able to have a child long after the time that they could have children because of their faith. And although they were well past the age of having children, they trusted God that God would allow them to have a child. I like the way that Romans states it. He says, "In hope against hope." Hope against hope. It was beyond hope. Basically what he's saying, this was so far out of the realm of even thinking about that this could happen. But Abraham, in hope against hope, believed. There didn't seem to be any possible way that he could have a child with Sarah. But he was fully assured. He was convinced. He was persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. Does my faith believe that strongly? That the seemingly impossible can happen? God can do it. God is faithful. God has promised. And as he concludes in Romans 4:21, he was able also to perform. Point four. Does my faith require a reward in this life? Am I living as a stranger, an exile, a foreigner, a nomad on this earth, desiring a better country? Or am I content with this world as my home? Looking forward to a city with foundations, seeking a homeland, desiring a better heavenly country, that's going to mean dying before we see it, unless Christ returns first. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 13 through verse 16. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Just having to drink between every couple of points is kind of disconcerting to me, but anyway. So when we think about the faith of Abraham, all these faithful people like Abraham died before they received the promises. Now, what promises were those? And truthfully, I'm not sure exactly which ones he's talking about, but there are a lot of ones that could be. For example, in chapters 12 through 22 of Genesis, we find several promises that were made to Abraham. We find that he would have numerous descendants. We find that God would be a God to him and to his offspring after him. We find that God would give to Abraham and his seed an everlasting inheritance, and that through Abraham and his descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we know there were also spiritual blessings and promises which God promised to Abraham, dealing with the coming of Christ and the blessings of his kingdom. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Now certainly Abraham wasn't alive when Jesus came. He didn't see a lot of the physical promises either about the nation and about all his descendants and so forth. He didn't live to see all of that. So I'm not really sure which ones of these promises were specifically referred to here, but we know there were several, both physical and spiritual, that Abraham did not see, he did not live to see fulfilled. But his faith had a clear and strong eye to see these promises from a distance. The lives and the lips of these believers confessed that they were just passing through this life, seeking a homeland, a better heavenly country. And it was obvious. The New Living Translation, which I'm not a big fan of, but occasionally it has some good things in there to kind of shed some light. But the New Living Translation on this particular point in verse 14, Hebrews 11, 14, it says, obviously people who talk like that are seeking a country of their own. So it's obvious, I think that's a good word to use there, it's obvious by the way they lived, by the way they spoke, by the things they said, that they weren't looking to go back to some earthly country. They were looking for a heavenly country, a heavenly city built by God. So when we think about our lives, does the way that I live, does how I live, does what I say make it obvious to others what country I'm seeking? I think we could all say people know. People that I don't know, if somebody just meets me on the street or I go to work with somebody and we work together for a couple of years, they've probably got a pretty good idea. At least they should. Pretty good idea of what country I'm seeking. Am I looking to make my life here on earth? Everything about what I do is about here and now? Or am I looking for that heavenly country? Am I seeking the city built by God? You know, if someone prepared a diagram, let's say a pie chart or something like that, of how I spend the time that God has given me on this earth, and how do I spend the money that God has blessed me with, would it lead them to believe I was a foreigner and a nomad in this world? Or would they say, you know, Jimmy, he's just like everybody else. He's just as materialistic as everybody else. What would people think about you? If they could put this in a pie chart, would the big part of that pie be, well, they're just living for the world, and just a little bitty part for God, or would it be the other way around? What if I could list every word I've ever said? Would those words tell others that I'm seeking a better heavenly home? In conclusion, the last question. Will God be ashamed of me and my faith? Hebrews 11, verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. If we are seeking that heavenly country, the city with foundations, God will not be ashamed to be called our God. And doesn't that make you want to do all you can? It should make each of us want to do all we can to seek that city. Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, I can live in such a way that God will not be ashamed of me. He will be glad to be called my God. Philippians 3 and verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Nothing on this earth is worth losing Christ. Nothing in this life should interfere with my journey to the eternal heavenly city. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 8 through 10. This is from the New International Version. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. We, like Paul, have to stop relying on ourselves and start putting our faith and trust in the God who has delivered us, who will deliver us, and who will continue to deliver us. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And finally, in 1 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 15, verse 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our faith in God and Jesus will give us victory over this world. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our labor will not be in vain. Now, we may not know what awaits us at every turn of life. In fact, it would be very rare that we know very much of what awaits us. But God is faithful, and we know that He will do exactly what He has promised. We may experience physical or financial hardship in this life, on this earth, but we need to focus on the better country, the city with foundations that waits God's children. There will probably be times in our lives when we cannot see the way out. We cannot imagine how God will bring about His will. But when we are hoping against hope, we can be fully assured that God can and will bring His promises to pass. Our earthly journey may have few physical rewards, but we need to remember that we are strangers on the earth. Our desire must be for the city that God designed and built. God will not be ashamed of us if that is our focus. Perhaps you've never surrendered your life to Christ. That opportunity is afforded to you this evening. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that belief and repent of your sins? And once you've done that, you can be buried with Christ in baptism. Your faithful obedience will give you the victory through Jesus Christ. If there's any way we can help you this evening, please come while together we stand and sing.
Let's get the books and turn to number 591. First line says, Lord, may our faith be like Abraham.